Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Smart Firefighting Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Sofen. In the Smart Firefighting Podcast, we cover technology and innovation trends across public safety. Here in this mini-series from the recent Innerschutz show at Hanover, Germany in June 2022, we bring you more than 12 episodes from the show floor. We have a lot of amazing speakers, and I'm really excited for all our feedback from this content. I find myself asking everyone to paint a picture in these episodes quite a bit, so bear with me, because it was really hard to fully capture the Innerschutz event in words. A key message that we hear multiple times throughout this podcast is that in order to innovate in public safety, we must ask questions and listen to first responders. We've got two ears and one mouth, so let's use them accordingly. This episode of Smart Firefighting is brought to you by Loci. Loci makes it easy to gamify your safety messages and automate the delivery of unforgettable training. This training meets your people where they're at, ensuring no one falls through the cracks on your watch ever again. Visit learnbyloci.com. That's L-O-C-I to learn more. In this episode, you'll hear from the Assistant Chief of McMinnville Fire and President of Women in Fire, Amy Hannafin. We will highlight what Women in Fire does to provide resources and empower women in the fire service with education around reproductive health, returning to work post-pregnancy, and getting promoted, much more. You'll also hear about Amy's story with recruitment and how this has changed since she first started. Make sure to check out womeninfire.org and reach out to Amy on LinkedIn. All right, sitting here at the Innerschutz Show 2022 in the Darley booth alongside Amy Hannafin. Amy, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing quite well. For those of us that don't have the luxury or the fortune to maybe have known or stumbled upon you, who is Amy Hannafin?
Well, thank you for having me, first of all. It's
of course.
Nice to be here. I am the president with Women in Fire, and also my job, I guess I would say, I'm an assistant chief of operations at a combination department in McMinnville, Oregon.
So Women in Fire, what is it? And tell me more about the organization.
So Women in Fire is essentially an international organization. We consider ourselves kind of like the voice for women in the fire service. We provide resources for not only women that might either be interested in getting into the fire service or might want to promote within their current career path. We also help to support organizations that are looking to better make their organization supportive towards inclusion within the fire service.
And how did you find yourself to now be, is it the president of Women in Fire?
Right.
How did that journey happen?
You know, it's funny. I actually met the former president, Angie Hughes, at the National Fire Academy. I was taking a command and control class a few years ago and had never heard of the organization myself. And she had just joined the board for the organization. And I got involved and became a board member and just kind of worked through a few different projects and into the role that I'm in now. So I've been involved probably about 9 years now.
That's amazing. And so you mentioned earlier a voice for women in the fire service. If a female firefighter is listening to this now and wants to get involved or is thinking about becoming a firefighter, thinking about getting promoted, they reach out or they get involved, like, are there resources? Are there events? Like, how are you being a voice and providing those resources to the female
right.
to females in the fire
service? Yeah, I'm glad you asked. We actually have a few different ways. It's a very multi-pronged approach, I suppose. One of my favorite ways that we provide that support is our conference that we have. And we have one coming up in Orlando in September. So every other year we have a big conference where we have a couple days of hands-on, get out and just do anything from very basic hands-on type technique classes up to command and control type classes. And then we have a couple days of in-person classes. And it honestly, my favorite part about it is just the welcoming atmosphere that it provides. It's much different than most fire service conferences I've been to. So that's one thing that we provide. We also have a mentoring program. And essentially, an applicant or a member of our organization can look through the profiles and find someone that lines up with them career-wise and maybe even regionally and connect with a mentor to kind of help work through whatever it is they're working through in their career path. We're fairly supportive of women's camps and have a toolbox that can be accessed to help people that might be interested in setting up their own camp or getting started with that. And we also have some initiatives in place, some different research that we're doing right now with NDRI, with Dr. Sarah Donkey's group. And that is providing two different things. So essentially there's reproductive health focus, where we're providing resources for pregnant firefighters and their OBGYN. That's something that's not been available before, and OBGYNs don't typically have a good idea of what the fire service impacts can be on their patients. So essentially we have an infographic that a firefighter can take to her OBGYN and say, these are the risks, these are the impacts, let's make kind of an educated plan for my pregnancy going forward. The other part of that project that we have going on right now is also some best practice diversity and inclusion training and resources to put out to the fire service.
That is so amazing, and thank you for being a catalyst for all that.
Thank you.
It's a lot of those things that maybe aren't talked about enough, but is extremely important to not only some, but many. And it's really critical, from the reproductive health to the how to continue to provide resources for the recruitment, for retention, for just encouraging everyone and anyone to join the fire service. And you're going to have struggles, you're going to have challenges.
Oh, 100%.
But that's why we have wonderful people and organizations like yourself to help them along the way.
Right. Yeah, and if we can provide that support and show that it can be accomplished, and the fire service isn't necessary for everyone, but at least if we can provide the resources out for those who truly are dedicated to the service.
Yeah. Well, and so you are also the assistant chief at McMinnville.
Yes,
Fire.
You got it.
Nailed it. I love the McMinnville. The two M's,
yes.
Quick is unique. So when you were with your role within the fire service, you are encountering all sorts of things. What are some of the things that are top of mind right now, from things that you're seeing within the daily operation? I know you're in Oregon, so obviously most people, when they think Pacific Northwest, an area, their wildland comes up.
Right.
What are some challenges or trends that you're seeing right now within the wildland and just kind of resource management aspect?
Sure. Certainly the wildland aspect is a concern and a challenge. And for us locally, working within the state structure and our Department of Forestry, State Department of Forestry, to ensure that enough resources are available from year to year can be a bit challenging. Honestly, the bigger challenge for us is having the resources not only available to help contribute to those state conflagration acts, also to be able to have enough resources within our own community at the same time. We're a combination department, so we have volunteers and career members, and we've seen a drop within the volunteer numbers the last few years and their ability to be able to respond back and go out on those longer responses. As well, we've had a lot of turnover within our own career rank as well, and recruitment and retention has been a challenge there. A bit contributed to burnout and COVID and just the height of volume that our system sees.
Tell me more about the recruitment and retention challenge. I mean, think about, and maybe paint a picture on what was it like when you first got into the fire service?
Oh my goodness.
And from where it is now, and obviously we've all been through the wild card monkey wrench that was COVID. And,
right.
And now we're not necessarily out of the woods, but stuff has changed. And where are we at now? Paint a little picture on the past and kind of where are we at now and sort of these challenges and maybe some ideas on how we can address those.
I actually like how you frame that, because I think it is important to take a look at the full picture. And having been in the fire service about 20 years, it was much different in how challenging it was to gain a job at that point. Getting into school, so where I work locally, I had to be a paramedic, had to go to school and get my degree to be able to do that. It was a challenge even to get into the program, to get qualified to get into the fire service. Our local community colleges that were running two programs a year 20 years ago are struggling to be able to fill one program a year now. And that's just kind of the initial step to be able to then get into the service. Quite a few in our area are offering bonuses, are offering very competitive wages and packages to be able to attract applicants in the door. And where I work in a more rural community, it can be challenging in keeping people that might be interested in more opportunities in the larger cities or the departments that are hiring just as continuously as we are.
And so now, thinking about how you have this high demand and it's changed in that there are options of employment and maybe some people aren't thinking about the fire service as much,
what are you thinking about and how are you moving forward? And like, what does the fire service, in your opinion, look like in the next 5, 10, 20 years? And how can we continue to recruit everyone? We had mentioned DEI earlier. Mm-hmm. How can we make the fire service more inclusive to then not only make it more inclusive, but to continue to fill the demands that we have to support the fire service?
I mean, I think in part, you do have to really reach down to that human level and sort a bit what it is that keeps people engaged. And we're seeing such a different firefighter even coming in than maybe we did 20 years ago. So I really try to empower my leadership to empower their own. So they might try to sort up what passion someone has within the fire department that they could engage them with and really kind of light their fire a bit, right? So if I've got someone who is very interested in the ropes team, I'm going to do everything I can to ensure that they get the training and they're able to join the team and go through the steps, because that might be something they don't get to do somewhere else. So I think it really is kind of looking at those unique opportunities that maybe they might get within the organization that they're working for that may not be as attainable elsewhere.
Yeah. So much more we can continue to dive into. I want to pivot a little bit to where we are today. We're at InterShoots, the show that everyone talks about in the fire service, this big FDIC times five, just this huge show. And it's almost a bit overwhelming. You look around. It's like,
very impressive.
Where do I start? Where do I end?
Yes, that's how I was yesterday.
All this tech. And, you know, it's kind of like a kid in the candy shop. It's great. But what have you seen so far that interests you, excites you? And is there anything that you're looking for just in general from tech or something that you're trying to explore?
You know, it's funny. I think that there really is so much more innovative technology here than I've seen at some other shows. And I think the one thing that I've seen today that was very intriguing was essentially technology within the back of the fire engine, allowing real-time footage from drones that were integrated within the system. So I'm excited to see where we go as far as the fire service goes and command posts being able to have real-time footage and see what their people are seeing. I know that technology is out there and being used by some. I think it'd be great to be able to offer that out on a wider base.
I couldn't agree more. And as I've walked around, there's just all these little, the way stuff is structured and the way stuff is organized and even the colors. I'm often looking at the American Fire Service from an American lens. So I think it's very encouraging and just eye-opening to appreciate the fire service in multiple contexts. And I talked about this earlier with Lori, where she had mentioned we're all kind of fighting the same enemy in a sense of fire. It just kind of looks a little different.
Right.
The structure a little different. I mentioned same, but different. But I'm interested in your thoughts. As we're here, this very international show, what are your thoughts on how we can, and I also caveat this with that there's different standards.
Right.
And stuff is mm-hmm. different, but it is similar. What are your thoughts on how we can glean some best practices and share ideas and collaborate with the International Fire Service? And what can we take home? What could you maybe even take home about, you know, back to your fire department?
You know, I think it really starts with an open mindset. And I think that being willing to consider data and information that can paint the picture of how efficiencies could be different. Certainly, like you said, standards can be different and regions can be different, but there can always be a bit of a takeaway. So I really do think it's just encouraging that open-mindedness and encouraging people to be willing to learn a bit. And, you know, I think that's the great thing about coming to shows like this is that I'm sure, similar to me, you've learned quite a bit this week that maybe you hadn't necessarily experienced before. And I think that we have to be willing to get out and have those experiences. And also, it's important that myself in a leadership role that I empower my own staff to be able to get out and get those experiences too. Because if they haven't seen some of the innovations that you can see in person at these types of events, there might not be as much buy-in.
Yeah, well said. And so you've dropped a lot of fire knowledge in this, and two things you talked about earlier was empower your leadership and have an open mindset. But to finish this out here, do you have any final thought, idea, quote, question, mic drop that you could leave us with here today?
Oh my goodness. You know, I'm just really excited to be here. This is awesome. I think I'm excited for where the organization Women in Fire is headed. And I think the fact that I even get to be here and have this experience and connect with people like you, people like Dr. Lori Moore. I think it's just been an excellent experience, and I hope that as we're coming out of this COVID fog, as you mentioned, that the fire service really bands together and comes together to collaborate more in the next several years.
Well, on behalf of Darley and Smart Firefighting and just the entire fire service, thank you for all that you do, Amy.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Till next time.
Thank you so much for listening to the Smart Firefighting Podcast today. If you enjoyed what you heard and got any value, please drop us a rating, leave us a comment, or reach out to us on social media. Have a great day, and together we can advance the future of smart firefighting.